M16, number 3A.
We were starting with the category 6, and we have introduced the standpoint of category 6, namely what attitude, naturally divine attitude, is raised within us through that whole process from category 1 to 5. And we get here all those human good qualities, which are, this is important, which are all adapted and right in order that we can evolve spiritually in a better way. So actually all those qualities that are raised up within us, so to say, are directed back or up, I think perhaps up the various categories, to see that everything now goes out to the higher level, like desire. You see, a true desire is only a desire when that desire is open to, say, like in the prayer, it's a prayer of true desire to know God as He is. So you can see it is directed upward or higher to the higher attitude. And this is true of all these qualities that we will always have in the category 6. So we get desire, or the beatitude, the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, that's a blessed attitude. There you see it very nicely, that it is a higher attitude of the human. Blessed are those. You see, it doesn't say blessed is a synonymous term when it does this and that and the other. But it is appealing to the human. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? Those who have actually that true desire, those who have an open thought, an open mentality. They open up the mentality to God. Blessed are the poor, those who have an unpreconceived mentality that is not already limited and preconceived, that is open. It is the mentality of being poor in spirit to know that the human cannot know it, that that is a poor thing when the human knows something, but that it is really a divine thing when mind knows. Or you have another one that we used in our earlier times very much, Dolly used that very much as mind, namely that the first step that we do, can you see, that we do, is to turn to God. It's to turn, to begin with God. Huh? It's turning to mind, because mind is the beginning. So always at the point of mind, our whole inward mentality feels that desire to know God as it is. For that, one has to have a mentality of blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the mentality of being open, unpreconceived, turning to the infinite light of God, beginning with mind instead of beginning with the human mind. It is therefore also a willing disciple. So often Mrs. Eddy uses that sense of mind when it reflects itself in the student, that the student is willing, is a willing disciple, because what did we have in the first column? We had the divine will, and that divine will, that was the will of mind, is now translated right down to the human, where we reflect that divine will and are also willing and are a willing disciple. It is the attitude of seeking. We have always mind characterized through seeking, but you see, we do not characterize mind itself through seeking, because mind can't seek, doesn't seek. Can you see that? Oh yes, very easily. Mind never seeks. Mind knows. Mind is that intelligence, is that all-knowing, that already knows all, therefore it doesn't need to seek. But that all-knowing, when it is translated right down to the human level as a divine attitude in the human, where the divine meets the human, then it is shown itself forth as a seeking attitude, that is the willing disciple, that is the open thought. That seeking attitude expresses itself, say, as learning, the willingness to learn. So, again, of investigating, researching, studying. So we see here all those mental activities that are positive, that are divine, where everything within us just wants to learn more about God, wants to investigate God, wants to research the textbook, wants to study what is being. All these qualities are here. Or you come to another different hue of that mind qualities in the human, of reasoning. See, when we are at the point of mind, mind is the logic, the divine logic, so it's the all-knowing. Therefore, the human attitude is that we reason. It's not just believe or have faith, but that we use now the mind qualities, the intelligent mind qualities, reasoning, scientific thinking, knowing. Now here again I've put in a verb, a gerund, I think you say, for knowing. Now this is different than what we had in the column 2, where mind is all-knowing. Where mind is all-knowing, but that reflects itself in the category 6, that we want to know, that we seek and research and want to know. So in that way, we have now knowing as a quality of the human. It is the demand to have the mind of Christ. We are asked that we should have that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. This is a demand. Again, you can see it is always directed back to the highest level, to mind itself, to the synonymous term itself. So these qualities in 6 are all qualities of the human attitude, but directed towards the highest level, towards the synonymous term. Perhaps we can have here also the quality of courage. Courage is power. Well, if you have in the first category that mind is power, that translates itself right down to a human attitude where we also have power, and that is considered to be courage. Just think of the whole first subject in Atonement and Eucharist, where it is shown very nicely that we must have courage, that Jesus acted boldly. That's courage. And even there, when you compare the first prayer, which was seeking God as he is, then the first subject in Atonement and Eucharist says, all right, then just don't only seek, also act accordingly. And even if it takes courage, act boldly. So you can see all these qualities are actually somewhere in the textbook, but they may not have been so obvious to extract out of the text as are the qualities that we have on the other levels, or not on the other level, on the other categories. So that's why always, since the beginning, these qualities of the category 6 have always given us a lot of incertitude. We always felt they must be here, they must be, say, these must be minds, nature, but we could never really clearly textually find statements that would say so. Until we began to see that we must look out for qualities that are able to reach mind, or qualities that are able to reach spirit. And we'll see as we go on, we find here wonderful qualities in the human which are necessary actually to be nearer the synonymous term, to have a better understanding of the synonymous term. Where was I? With courage. And then the last one, it's law-abiding. See, it's no more law as we had in Category 2. There we just said being, in the one being, in the oneness of being, everything is in a state of law, where law are reigning. But now, translated really to the human, we have now the demand, so to say, to be law-abiding. This is a quality. Mind is anyway law, so mind doesn't need to be law-abiding, but as a reflection of that law of mind, it asks us to be law-abiding, which again we can see from the first subject in marriage. The first subject in marriage again shows that we should be law-abiding. That's the first condition there. So actually, in this category of six, you have the subjects of mind, which are presented in prayer, and then in the atonement, in Eucharist, and then in marriage. Yeah. Now if we go further and say, all right, now what happens, or what should we think about the counterfeit, which is an account of fact. Therefore, it's not something besides mind. There is no duality. But somehow, therefore, it must be included in mind, that counterfeit. It must be explained within the synonymous term mind, and not as something being without, outside. Not something that is outside of mind, but something that is not within, but that must be explained from within mind. And we explain it in the category 7. How does it appear when it is not understood? So we can see the level or the attitude that is here under consideration is always misunderstanding. And misunderstanding will reveal that the synonymous term, when misunderstood, presents itself as the phenomena of its counterfeit. Not as its counterfact, but as its counterfeit. I always love that last column so much, because it's that which really does away with the dualistic sense. It really says, no, it is not so that the divine mind must come to mortal mind and just knock it over hard and fast and good and proper, because it is not an enemy. It is a false concept. It is a misunderstanding of mind. Therefore, all what needs to be corrected is that we have an understanding of mind. Then we have mind. If we misunderstand mind, that mind appears as mortal mind. It is never mortal mind, but it appears as a phenomena called mortal mind. So mortal mind is actually the divine mind, but not with a full stop, comma, when mind is misunderstood. So when mind is misunderstood is actually the category here. How does it appear when mind is not understood? And so we can see that all what we had as counterfeits of mind, capital M, are like mortal mind, like illusion, like the belief in intelligent matter, or like animal magnetism, all these noumenon counterfeit that we had in our study when we did syllabus class 1, that they are actually always the divine mind itself, comma, when that divine mind is misunderstood, misconceived, misrepresented, misinterpreted, misstated. Yeah. As a last one, I have here agnosticism. You will see that in every synonymous term, as a last counterfeit, I would take just one aspect of a theism aspect. We have a lot of theisms, like agnosticism, later on polytheism, then later on as pantheism, all the isms that have to do with theory of God. So we here have agnosticism. What does agnosticism mean? Agnosticism means that there is a God, but that you can't know him. Can you see this mind, a counterfeit of mind? Mind says you can know God. And agnosticism is the very opposite of it, that says you cannot know God. So agnosticism is actually the knowing of mind when that mind is misunderstood. Well, that would be the way we could dimensionalize the synonymous term mind. And you see that if you take it in this way, I guess you will feel that these ideas make much more sense, that they are better shown in their intra-relationships. What we did a few years ago in syllabus class 1, you know, or also in 3, was that concept building and then tonality building. And in that concept building, we really just went along all the ideas that would come into our mind, which we knew were somehow symbolizing or illustrating or characterizing mind, but in no definite way, no definite order, in no definite categories, and therefore always one was a bit dissatisfied. One felt always, now, how can I, for instance, combine that mind heals on one side and on the other side that mind only knows ideas? So how on earth can that be combined? And now if you put in these categories, it's all so much simpler, or it really begins to clarify a lot. So what you can do now is to take the very same method that we have laid down at that time of concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building, and going through this presentation, and that may be a much clearer sense. So sit down and establish your concept and afterwards your tonality of mind just by sitting back in your chair, very quiet and very restful, and in a pondering way, in a sense of being in awe before what mind means, and you just start out and you begin to see, oh well, that mind, and you establish the real core of mind, which is a deep impression, and you will begin to feel, oh yes, that mind, and then you flow and say, it's a one mind, it's the all mind, it's that mind which has its primeval conception, which minds its own mind, it's that mind that is intelligence, that intelligence is a divine will, therefore power and action, and you establish already the core of that mind, the depth of that mind. And from there you can go to the second category of divine science and begin to feel, well, this mind is the mind in the whole universe. It's there for the parent mind. It's there for all in all, not just the all, it's all in all. It's there for that mind which is unsearchable, which is unfathomable. It's that mind which is the realm of mind, which is where the all in all is in the realm of mind. It is therefore a realm of mind that is full of that intelligence, therefore knows all. It's the all-hearing mind, all-knowing mind, all-encompassing mind, all-comprehending mind, all-knowing mind, all-apprehending mind, all-perceiving mind. You have a real sense that you have a universe that is full of mind knowledge, of mind. It's the information universe in which there is actually all-knowing according to law. And from there, in this big universe of mind, you can go to the third category of absolute Christian science and say yes. And in that realm, every little idea, every specific idea is somehow under the impact of principle. Therefore, that mind is the cause of all ideas, it's the origin of all ideas, it's the author and source of all ideas. Therefore, that mind really is the creative impulsion that creates only ideas. It's the creator of all ideas. It creates, makes, produces all ideas. Can you hear? It's always that projecting force. And we begin to see that that mind, therefore, is always at the point of manifesting itself as infinite ideas, of presenting the ideas, of imparting the ideas, of emanating only ideas, of bringing forth constantly only ideas. And so you have a great sense that that mind, therefore, forms every idea, closes every idea, shapes every idea, fashions every idea, and in this way is also supporting and maintaining every idea. Can you see? Here you get the terrific sense of a relationship of God to its creation. Then, at that point, you have more or less established already what is factual in the divine sense, and now comes the relationship to the human, and you say, now what does that whole concept do to us? And you come to category 4, and you begin to see, well, that mind, which is intelligent and all-knowing mind, is actually that which gives to me all illumination. It gives to me new vision, it gives to me new insight, it informs me, it brings the light, and it enlightens me. It is that which really gives new insight, therefore it's the ability of discovery or the faculty of discovery, that infinite information of mind comes to me as wisdom. It comes to us as bestowing all the power through faculties, through capabilities, that all intelligent mind comes to me and says, I can show you the way, I can guide you, I can lead you, I can direct you, I'm the steering mind for you, just trust me and I steer everything rightly with you, I come and help you. And so we feel the influence of that mind coming to us, stimulating us, and it comes to us as an unerring guidance and leading and steering. And so we begin to feel that mind governs all our affairs. What does that do to a wrong situation? What's the good about it? What's the good of it? You would say, well, the good of it is the category of five, which says, all right, that is the medicine. That will do the trick. It comes to you and controls everything. It keeps error under control. It regulates everything. So it heals and saves and corrects. Well, if the situation is corrected, then naturally the situation is left on a higher plane, on a higher tone. That's then the category 6, so that something higher is being brought out. You really have the subject of marriage chapter here very much, that always a higher tone is brought out. And so what is brought out within us is that those qualities are established within us which help to reach out for God. What are those qualities? It is true desire to know God. It is the poor in spirit. It is all that which says you must have an open thought, a free thought, an unpreconceived thought. All those qualities are shown here. You must turn to God, not turn away from God. You must begin with God, not with something else. You must seek and be a willing disciple, and that therefore you must have an attitude of learning, of investigating, of researching, of studying, of reasoning, and of scientific thinking and knowing, so that you should have really the mind that is God. And only when you have that mind which is God, you also have the quality of courage, the power of mind to do things in the human way, and you will be law-abiding, mind-abiding. And this will show us that all that what error tries to say, that it is something and that it wants to say, I'm also real, is only a misunderstanding of that one mind. So that all those many counterfeits that we had are actually still the divine mind when translated to the level of misunderstanding. So all the noumenon and counterfeit and the phenomena counterfeit of all what we had as ideas of mind are actually here seen as just one thing, as a misunderstanding of the one mind.